Today is the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus. We will not have benediction this evening. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Tomorrow after the 8:30 Mass, we will have the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. On Tuesday, there's a Mass change. The Mass will be at 8:30 instead of 7:30 because it is the Feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. So that's Tuesday, January 6th. Next Sunday is our patronal feast of the Holy Family. There will be a solemn Mass at 9 in the morning, so that's another time change. Don't come at 8. There'll be a solemn Mass at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there'll be Vespers and Benediction at 6 in the evening. So for today, there's no benediction. We have the blessing of articles. There's the cleaning of the chapel tomorrow after Mass. Tuesday's Mass is a different time, 8:30, the Epiphany of our Lord. And next week is the Feast of the Holy Family, solemn Mass at 9. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to hear the words of the first pope. We're going to hear how a pope should speak. We're going to hear the message that a pope is meant to give. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are on trial today about a good work done to a cripple, as to how this man has been cured, be it known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even in this name does he stand here before you sound. This is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Please stand for the gospel. The holy gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. At that time, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of today's holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, those are inspiring words. So we must, on this feast, talk about the holy name of Jesus, and we all know, as you can see, I am doing it, and we all knew you are doing it. That first of all, we bow our heads whenever we say or hear the holy name of Jesus. That's because we love God, and that's his name. Now, we need not say much about what the Pope told us, St. Peter told us. There is no salvation apart from this name. So there are many other names we hear nowadays. They will not save anyone. Muhammad will not save anyone. Allah, we say that because that is not God's name, just so you know. You know, their chant, there is Allah and his one prophet, Muhammad. Allah is not God. Don't be fooled by that. Moses is not going to save anyone except through Christ. Buddha, all the gods of the prophets of the Hindus are not going to save anyone. And so anyone in this world that goes around telling people that it's okay to follow those names is helping those people possibly to go to hell. We had a Q&A and asked St. Peter, what do you think about that? He would condemn it. He tells us, only in the name of Jesus will we be saved. It's crystal clear. There's no doubt about it. We did comment on it, but that's pretty clear. But the one thing, just taken out, because it's a very interesting note, because you see it says, St. Peter tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead. Some people who are not well trained in the faith are disturbed when we read in St. Paul's epistles that the Father raised his Son from the dead. Oh no, our Lord did not rise from the dead. His Father had to raise him. Now, by the way, the modernists use that lack of understanding and knowing the catechism to try and sow the seeds of doubt. You can see how they do that. Oh, it says the Father raised him, therefore the Son is not divine. He's just a man. I don't know if you've already caught that in their attempts to sow the seeds of doubt. Well, when St. Peter tells us God raised Jesus from the dead, he is expressing the Trinitarian teaching that we know. Any external acts of God are the work of all three persons. Any external act, creation, the act of the incarnation, the raising of our Lord from the dead. So we can easily say, because it's an external act of the Trinity, that God the Father raised his Son. That is completely true. We can say the Son rose from the dead. We don't hear this very often, but we can say the Holy Spirit raised the Son of God from the dead. All true. So don't be fooled by the modernist with their little trickery. But let's talk about two things: the holy name of Jesus and the new year. We've heard a lot in the last couple of days already. We cannot summarize adequately the sermon for the octave day of Christmas, but we'll just say the three words that we should all walk away with, the three things to guide us always. First, pray. Second, to reflect. Do you remember these things? And third, to consult. Get advice. We heard further elaboration in an unscheduled, unexpected way on the first Friday when our Father Superior went into, again, we cannot summarize adequately the great talk after the Mass, except to give you this. He said that the problem of the answer to the question of why do good people do bad things, which is a great question. He went through a long, I'll just give you the punchline. The reason why? Because of lack of supernatural virtue called prudence. Why do good people do bad things? Because they lack prudence. They have it if they're good. That means that they have sanctifying grace. That means they have supernatural prudence, the highest of the moral virtues, not the highest of the virtues. We know that's charity, and we know the theological virtues are greater than the moral cardinal virtues. But because the question was, why do good people do bad things? So we're talking about moral actions, doing something. So we're talking about the realm of the moral virtues. And prudence is the highest of these. So people do not know when to be temperate, when to be exercise courage and fortitude, because in each of these other virtues, we can fail by excess or defect. The perfection of the moral virtues is in that middle point, that high point, not on the excess of defect. What is the only way to do that right is through prudence. That is part of what we heard on New Year's Day. First to pray, then to reflect and get advice. That's prudence working. So that's all we can tell you. But if you're making, so ask people's help. Sometimes we get trapped in our own thinking. So much, you can't talk about that anymore. Just to let you hear what he talked about. But we want to, as we talk about, well, if you were not able, fortunately, so many people came today. It's supposed to be a lot of snow. God preserved us. But if you're not able to come on these last 2 days, the new year already starts out with a bang. Christians are not sitting back and taking it easy. January 1st is a holy day. And this year we followed immediately with a first Friday and a first Saturday. And now today is the holy name of Jesus. Christians are on the march as they talk about it. I'm grimacing because I've recently been hearing about, we are not Christians. Did you know that? Catholics are not Christians. It's so absurd. This is what the non-Catholics say. We're not Christian because we call ourselves Catholic. We are the ones that gave the name Christian to the whole thing. The followers of the way. Look it up in the Acts of the Apostles. The followers of the way. They tried to give us a name, and in Antioch they did. They said, oh, these are the Christians. They follow Christ, that anointed one, the Messiah. So we are the Christians. We're the true Christians. But we are not sitting back. We are, the New Year started and we're off to a running start. So if you were not able to come for the first Friday or the first Saturday, we want to recall this. The importance of devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, we're in the year 2015. You know, we're only a couple years away from the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima coming on, and as the title of Our Lady of the Rosary. So when Fala talks about praying, and you talk about New Year's resolutions, can we give a New Year's resolution, a suggestion? We're not afraid to do it. You know why? Because it's the Blessed Mother's asking. Pray the Rosary daily. Now, if you cannot say the whole rosary every day, at least say a decade every day. Because if you know, if you've heard this already, you remember it, the essence of prayer is desire. So if we just want to, Blessed Mother, I want to do what you're asking me. I'm doing at least this decade. Maybe later in the day I can do the rest. So we talk about praying, besides our morning and night prayers and the essential things coming to Mass on Sunday, say the rosary. This is not a sermon about the rosary, except just to tell you, do you know how many miracles have happened because of the rosary? The feast day itself is all about a miracle, how the Muslims were stopped from invading and taking over Europe because of the rosary. And the other thing that you've been hearing a lot, but we have at least been saying it, so we just keep reminding you of it. This is not a bad New Year's resolution, and is not, I can't say from the Blessed Mother, but it's the spirit of church. We have to pray. Try mental prayer. We just heard today on the radio about some, don't know him, but newscaster, who went through a panic attack on the air 10 years ago. And what's helping him now? Ready? Meditation. Now, this is a purely naturalistic approach, but they have documented, medical community, the effects of taking the time. By the way, they are saying correctly, meditate. Meditate just means to think over things. And we heard him describing how he does that. But just the fact of doing that is beneficial for your health. We don't stop there. Some people call it meditation. There is that. That's just one aspect of mental prayer. That's the thinking part. But to make it mental prayer, we have to engage the heart, the will. You know, we've talked about this. Because remember, prayer is the lifting of our minds and hearts to God. And you as Christians know exactly how to do mental prayer because we've just told you. It's the structure of the Mass. You know it. It's connatural to us. We grow up knowing the method. So we just encourage you, and even this man was saying, if you just do 5 minutes a day, start out small, just 5 minutes a day. That's what we're going to do. But here's a little, but here's a little tip. One that St. Teresa of Avila, the great mystic and teacher of the interior life. Okay, we can't even tell all of the mystical experiences she had. The transverberation, you know, where the angel came and stabbed her in the heart. You know, I mean, okay. She said, I never begin to pray without having a book in my hands. How wise. Because whenever the time of prayer lags, I can open the book and read a thought from God to rekindle my desire. So the tip is, have a book ready. What kind of book? It could be the Missal. The Missal is a great book for this. It can be just the Book of Psalms. It can be the New Testament. It can be litanies. We're thinking especially right now of the Litany of the Holy Name of Jesus for this month. From the neglect of your inspirations, Jesus, deliver us. That's one of the petitions of that litany. From the neglect of your inspirations, Jesus, deliver us. Now, okay, we have to talk about the Holy Name. Now, first of all, we all know that the name Jesus means Savior. And everything that our Lord fulfilled was all prophesied in the Old Testament in view of his coming. So apart from all the other things we talk about, circumcision, it was given to the people to get them ready for the coming of the Savior, who would begin to redeem. His incarnation itself is enough to redeem us, as we know, but that was not enough for God. We know from the Catechism, why did he undergo all these things? To show us the evil of sin and the greatness of his love. And so the first act of that sacrifice was a circumcision, where he shed his blood. He experienced pain. And of course, his parents, especially Blessed Mother, is feeling that pain. Oh, I do have to say this. We're talking about consecrating this year. So to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. You know, yesterday's Mass was a unique one for the Blessed Mother on Saturdays, because there's only a few Saturdays that have it, because it ends on February 2nd with Christmas season. But is that great story of we've heard it on Christmas Day, that the shepherds came and everything, told what happened and everything, all that. And it says, St. Luke tells us, in this place, and again, just at the end of this whole chapter, chapter 2, the infancy narrative, that it says, and his mother Mary listened to what they said, and she thought over these things, and kept them all in her heart. That's what I want to do. I want to run to that nativity scene. I want to run to the communion rail. I want to just be in my pew. I want to run. I want to tell my story to the Blessed Mother so she can keep thinking about me like she thought about those shepherds and keep turning over in her heart everything about me. That's what you should want to do. Always talk to her. Entrust things to her. So she's always thinking about you. She's thinking about you even when you are not. But how much more if you're constantly asking her? So that's a thing to be doing. But the Holy Name in the Old Testament, and this is so dramatic that the people were not allowed to call God by his name. He told them what his name was because Moses asked him, "Who am I to tell the people? Who am I to tell sent me?" And he said, "Tell them, I am sent you." And we can't go through a whole story about that. But they could never say that name, except the high priest once a year when he went into the Holy of Holies. So they had all these alternative forms of God's name so they could talk about him. But they couldn't say his name. And this tremendous strength of God and power of God was meant to impress them, to make them stay monotheistic in a world which was not, which was run by the devil. And this is so apparent that some warped people have actually come up with this crazy idea. We call them Gnostics, Albigensians. They've come up with the idea there were two gods. There's a God of the Old Testament, and then there's a God of the New Testament. Now, they're completely crazy, but they are picking up on this fact that God seems to be very severe in the Old Testament. He's severe to the enemies, by the way. Because even St. Bernard tells us in the text for this office today that his name is like an oil coming out and spreading among us. This is from the Canticle of Canticles. So God was a very loving father. But to those who were not his people or turned against him, he was a fearsome God. So with that contrast in mind, when God comes in the flesh and says, "You can call me my name now," this is a great privilege of ours, something we must treasure. And to not, you know, one of the only three things of the commandments God commands for himself. One is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God, thy God in vain." And how many times is that done today? And we're not just talking about the name of Jesus, but just people talking about, "Oh God, oh God." Our Lady of La Salette said to Melanie that her son is very angry at the lack of respect and reverence on his holy day and of abusing his name. But, oh, see, we're running out of time. Here's the thing, everybody. This is our respite. I'm sure you experience this. Sunday is that chance to get away, to come to the little oasis in this desert out there where everything's against you. Now, you don't know what's going to happen this year. What's on the horizon does not look good. We all know that. In the big picture, and maybe in your own pictures, you may not be looking ahead to happy things. But we're thinking ahead to towards the end of the year when there's some kind of thing going to happen. We're going to redefine and reset what a family is. We will not waste time on that. We mention it because next week is the true study and love of what the family is in the Holy Family. So it should be even a greater celebration for all of us. We all come from families. We all have families. We may be raising families right now. And we all know all the pressures there from society and everything else. You just fill in the blanks. You know it better than we do. You know what today is for you, giving you help. Say the holy name of Jesus all the time. St. Bernard says again in the text for today's office, when I see this, when I do that, everything, I see Jesus. When I am burdened with troubles, I say, Jesus, help me. Our help is in the name of the Lord. So when you leave here, another resolution, I'm going to say the name of Jesus often through the day. We have that booklet by Father Sullivan, The Wonders of the Holy Name. It's great, but he talks about in there, which you've probably heard before, where St. Gregory of Tours and other holy people, some bishop he was talking about, how they would write the name of Jesus, or even Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, on a card and put it under the pillow of a sick person that they would get better. Or just sleeping on it yourself, that your sleep be a good one. So that's how much these saints took the holy name. Or they would carry it on them. They would take the text of this Mass, just that sentence, and carry it with them all the time. These are just ideas of how to always be thinking. And the name Jesus is a prayer. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son. The name of the Son is Jesus. And when we are facing death, the priest tells us, it's right in the rubric, tell the people to say the name Jesus. So we come into life with his name and we go out with his name. We're invoking, by saying Savior, we're invoking everything that he came to do upon us. And we cannot our Lord's words are, we can't neglect our Lord's words. So whenever we're in pain, anguish, think of this. Amen, amen, I say to you, solemn words, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Does that not describe you? Are you not weeping and lamenting while everyone else is laughing at us? Do you not feel pain and anguish? These words are for us. And you therefore have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. We're in pain and anguish because hitherto we have not asked in his name. As of this moment, we will always ask for help in the name of Jesus. And he said he will give it to us. That is our hope. That is what is going to take us to heaven. So when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion today, we will pledge ourselves, renew our pledge to him, to his Blessed Mother, that he will take us to heaven one day. May God bless you.